Welcome to the Finnish Housing First Development Network podcast, episode number 5. My name is Juha Kahila, and as you can hear, something has changed since the last episode. So today's episode is going to be in English. And how do you feel about that, Juha?
I'm excited. We have two very remarkable guests here today to talk about the birth of housing model in Finland, and hopefully we will hear something about the future also. Our guests are, I could, you know, describe them as the giants of housing model, housing first model in Finland.
Exactly.
The CEO of Y Foundation, Juha Kaakinen, and the senior advisor, Peter Fredriksson. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad that you didn't call us dinosaurs.
Actually, we thought about it, but we thought it's better to call it giants. Yes. At this point. But warm welcome to the episode, and if you could introduce yourself for a bit, what have you done in the past in the field of homelessness work, and what are you doing right now? And if Juha, you can start.
No, I think it's better that Peter starts, because it's quite kind of chronological history of the thing. If Peter starts,
I could throw the ball back, but okay. My whole life in working life, I think I've been working with housing in different forms from 1970s, when I became one of the board members in the Helsinki city local politics and the city government, also in the 1980s, which when I first encountered the homelessness issue, when Juha was already active in the Helsinki city at the same time. And then I was invited as a one-man's committee from the government of Prime Minister Lipponen in 1999 to make a proposal for the whole housing policy in Finland for 4 years. And that's the way I then remained in the ministry until 2018. I was responsible for the homelessness, national homelessness policy from 2001, I would say, because I made proposals also concerning homelessness and many other issues, naturally, concerning housing policy. But then everything, in a way, highlighted was the culmination of everything in 2008 when the power program, the long-term homelessness program, started. And we started to work directly and daily with Juha. That's my background. At the moment, I'm a senior advisor, but I'm a retired, very easy life. I don't know, a little bit with the animals and my wife, etc. But I can't get rid of the homelessness, not yet, because there's something to do. Okay?
Yeah, I think that the reason that you are not quitting is that at some point we made the promise that we are not going to retire not before homelessness is ended in Finland. So that's the reason that you are formally retired, but not in practice. But what I would say, I have worked with homelessness in two phases. The first one was in the 1980s for the city of Helsinki. I worked first as a social worker in the office that was called at that time the sixth office. It was not a special office for homeless people, but it was the sixth office, which meant that the clientele were homeless people and also all violent clients of the whole social offices in Helsinki. There was one social worker who was specialized in taking care of their business. So it was quite a mixture at that time. I worked for several years as a social worker, and the main reason that I was asked to work there was that I was a pretty decent football player, and they had a team and they needed an extra new member there. That was the reason that I ended up in the homelessness office originally. But something that you don't know, that I also had an extra job for a few years. I was working as an assistant in the center that gave referrals to homeless people for vacant places in hostels and shelters. I was the assistant because it was always a senior, older social worker who was the real guy who gave the referrals, and I was only taking care that there was order in the place when homeless people came to get the referrals. Mm-hmm. And it was open every evening, every weekend, except on Sundays. And people came there, and if there was an empty place, they could get a referral, and then they could.
So it was a real low threshold place in service.
Yes, yes, it was a real low threshold place, and of course the thing was that you were supposed to be sober when you came there, and that didn't happen so often. So it was quite interesting job. Then I was responsible for the homelessness services for the city of Helsinki for several years. Was responsible for building that one hostel or shelter that the city of Helsinki ever has made in Herttoniemi, with 80 bed places, two men in the same room with a fridge, and that was, we thought that this is real avant-garde of homelessness, that you can have that kind of quality in the place. And it was meant to be a temporary place, and as it often happens, it was temporary for over 20 years. So that's probably one of the reasons that I'm so much against temporary solutions to homelessness. And then I worked in Hämeenlinna in a municipal development company for social and health issues. And I was working there when Peter contacted me in the 2006 or 2007. I think it was 2006 because you asked me to make an evaluation of the programs that were running at that time. And with two of my colleagues, we made that evaluation, and one of the main conclusions was that we should have a special program to end long-term homelessness in Finland.
Is it already 2005?
Could be. We have some memory lags already. Yeah. So probably at that time. Yeah. And this was one of the conclusions, but there's also a funny mistake in the report, because it says that we should have a special program to end long-term homelessness until 2111.
We still have time.
Yes. I'm quite hopeful that we managed before that. And then I was asked to work as a program leader in that national program, before that as a secretary in the vice group. Yeah. And already then we worked very closely with Peter. And I think that many of the ideas that are in the program and in the model came through the discussions that we had at that time. And since 2013 in the Y Foundation, but it's an organization that I know very well already from the beginning in 85, and remember very well the process that it was established at that time. This was too long, but you can cut it, okay?
No, it was really good, and there's so much experience in the table. So I'm just glad to hearing all the stories and what have you done. Danny, not only in the past, but what are you doing right now? But if we scroll back to the 2006-2007, when the Finnish Housing First model was taking its first steps, if I have understood correctly, you didn't have any clue of the US model of the Housing First. Is that correct?
It's correct. You would say, we could say, I think, that the Finnish housing model is a really Finnish product in that sense. The name, Housing First, Juha took the Swedish background, and he can tell, but it is naturally the basic concept is behind every, you know, if you talk about Housing First, everybody knows that it means something, steps forward through housing. Everybody understands, but all the details and the elements in the concept they're totally Finnish, and that's the only way you can go forward with it. It can't be a one model which is then replicated, you know, all around the world, as somebody has taught in our discussions in some years now here already. But it came up as a, I think. I've read the first contact. This was during when we were planning the program for the minister. He came in, the minister, Jan Vapaavuori, which is very important, is a moderate conservative, which came in through the election in 2007, and took charge of the Ministry of Housing, Ministry of Environment and Housing through that one. And he wanted to change and referred to the research which Juha had made concerning that there is, we can't go forward with the long-term homeless group. We can't. We haven't found solutions. We had the special programs to through 2000 already, which I led and tried to find, and we could make some progress concerning normal ARA housing, flats more, but not a success concerning the long-term homeless, the most vulnerable position in the housing market. And that was it was one of the basic reasons for the new program, because we understood that the minister wants now new solutions and wanted to put up the group of the wise men. And when we asked, it was some time ago, we asked him, where did it come, the name? He didn't remember, in fact. So we don't know, it's a mystery at the moment. Where did it come up?
You mean the wise group?
The group of the group of the wise men.
And who were involved in that group?
It includes, the head was the director of the social administration in Helsinki City, Paavo Voutilainen. Then there was the parliamentarian and very long-term activist in many cases, Ilkka Taipale. There was the bishop, Eero Huovinen at that time. And then also the fourth is...
my predecessor in Y Foundation, Hannu Puttonen.
Hannu Puttonen, which was CEO at that time in Y Foundation. And after that, when we came to an agreement with these names, with the minister, he said that take care of other things, organize it, and start the work and make a proposition for how to proceed. And that's the time when I took contact with Juha and to be involved directly as a director of the program and also all the assistant persons. So we started that with these elements. This is a quite long now answer. So
well, I could say something about the name housing first. Actually, the name really came from a Swedish report that we saw. I think that you pointed out that report to me, and it was Bostad First, which came in Finnish, Asunto Ensin, and we were so happy because it described so well the basic principles, and in English it's of course Housing First. But I think that there are two things. The other one is this name, which has caused of course a lot of confusion also, because I think that the fidelity discussion of Housing First is something that it's quite irrelevant for us, because the background is so different than in the original program. But the other thing is that how this thinking came, and I think that if I remember right, the group of four wise had three meetings, and already in the beginning there was a clear understanding that we really have to change the system. We have to do something radically different. You could also say that kind of the easy part of homelessness had been solved. Homelessness had been going down, but it was always the same group of long-term homeless people sleeping rough with mental health issues and substance abuse problems that were left out of the solutions, because there were only a few exceptions. For example, in the Diakonis Institute in Helsinki, there was one place that you could call kind of pilot of the Housing First thinking. And then, of course, the non-fixed abode also had, before the program started, a similar.
Okay. When you as a wise group came up with these ideas that you really have to change the whole system, how was it received? What kind of discussions were wandering around?
You mean how it was received, the report and the proposals?
Yes, and how, I mean, if you have this kind of very new idea of changing the whole system, then you have to kind of make others convinced about.
Well, I think that how it was convinced was by showing how the old system didn't work. So you have to radically change some elements, and I think that of course, it was about Housing First, the basic principle, but I would say that even more, it was a question about temporary accommodation, shelters and hostels. And there had been already in the 1990s, we had some efforts in Helsinki to cut it down very radically. There was a private company who was running most of the hostel bed places in Helsinki. And when it went bankrupt, that was a kind of momentum when that could have been done, but it didn't succeed, not yet then. But that thinking that this is the part that is problematic, this is the part that is creating a kind of culture of homelessness that should be removed or changed radically.
I could say that it was an absolute and total breakthrough, the report, because we received it and we saw, we had a large, many discussions with Juha during the when they were writing it, naturally, of the older, you know, the things which were put inside. But it's a very large vision of how to go forward also in very concrete terms. It included the whole structure and the idea. It was very easy after that one, I would say, to go to the program level. It was in that sense, I've very seldom seen such a report to have such large impact, because everything almost which happens after that, the first months and years, was according to the report. And it was also, I think, here the Minister Vapaavuori was a little bit hesitating about this housing first in the beginning. He said, I don't believe it, or perhaps I don't believe it, and he was very skeptical of it. But he had the idea of in leadership that you go forward with, if you don't have a definitive test results. He's going forward, he wants to make results. He had the basic idea, as you've followed his career. He's a very result, and in a way, I would say, he's very...
Pragmatic
and centered on solutions. He wants to go forward in every sector, and he was very good in that sense, and it was easy to then to go forward.
I think that these are the key words: concrete, pragmatic, and this is the kind of Finnish approach. That the program, the presentation was very concrete. There were concrete goals. What everybody should do, what were the responsibilities of the state and the cities that were involved in the program, and also how much funding was available. And this was also important because I remember that after the group of four wise, there was another working group that was called Ahkerat.
Ahkerat, yes.
What's that?
Hardworking.
Hardworking.
Hardworking group. Led by a female.
Yeah.
It was the deputy mayor of Helsinki, Paula Kokkonen. And I remember some discussions with her, and she said very clearly that this is now something that we are supposed to take care of. And the city of Helsinki can take care even of the whole problem if only the state puts some money also. Mm-hmm. That the state recognizes the thing that this is more the responsibility of Helsinki. So there was a plan how many flats should be given to homeless people in Helsinki and other cities, and also the principle that the cost were delivered shared so that the state would pay 50 and the cities 50. This was an important principle and earmarked money for support personnel. That was, I think, that one of the crucial elements.
It was. If we started the negotiations with 10 cities, which contain the most of Finland's homelessness persons, as you really know, we started in the end of, it was 2008, May, and went through the negotiations. I was chairing, so I remember very detailed it. Well, just as Juha said, it was the momentum where we made a letter of agreement, so contracts with the 10 cities, in a very concrete level. All projects were put in there. It was not a principle paper. It was also a principle paper, but it included everything concerning investments for the new housing. There were 64 new units in the whole 10 cities to be built during the program, and the funding for the new personnel. 350, if I remember, new persons were recruited through the years. For social workers, etc., for in the new units. So it was the presentation of the wise men and the letter of agreement together. I would say that it is the basic of everything what happens, because you can understand that the municipalities after the agreement they were dependent that to get the state funding. They were dependent, and they were they had the obligation now to go forward in the municipalities to make the site planning for new, you know, units, recruiting persons, training them, taking care of their own funding part, making the decisions in the councils and the boards. It was a total change in the, you know, in the mentality and the practical work inside through these elements.
I remember, this is one of the things that I remember very clearly, when the idea of the letters of intent came. We were discussing about how to make this a reality, this program. Yeah. And we were actually in my smoke sauna. Yeah. And probably there was some wine also involved. But yeah. Then came the idea to have a letters of intent.
Yeah.
And I think that this was probably the most difficult or demanding administrative part of the whole process. When Peter started to have discussions with cities, that this is the letter of intent, and we are thinking that you will also sign it. Yeah. So there was especially one city that it was a little bit longer process.
Yeah,
but let's not name it.
No,
but
they now more and more involved also.
All Finns.
Yeah,
remember.
Yeah. Because you can understand that there's an opposition all the time around for the environment and other groups and or persons inside any municipality or a state level also opposing these kind of new units, which were made in Helsinki, for example. There's over 1,000 beds or 1,000 places, independent places through the Helsinki city, and every project was very demanding. But the basic one, that they were on the paper, they were in the letter of agreement. They were every detail, even that we made a plan A and plan B, that if according to A, some project or unit didn't go forward, we took the B plan, and there was some other replacing project. Because we thought that this is going to be crucial to go to make a breakthrough.
Almost all units, I think, were realized.
I think one is missing.
Yeah. The concept competition winner that was not realized in Helsinki. That's probably the only one.
Yeah, it was inside the Kivelä hospital area. There was an idea or a 50 places unit, which never realized.
Okay, now we are talking about the supported housing units. Could you explain what that mean? Because I hope we have some listeners from the outside of Finland, and they probably don't know what is supported housing units in a way that we are seeing them. And
well, the basic principle is very simple. It means that it's a housing block where you have your own rental contract, your own rental apartment, totally independent apartment, but in the same housing block, there can be common premises and also on-site staff to provide support. And that's kind of our understanding, that there are homeless people who also need more intensive support than it's possible to give in scattered housing. They can be of different size. I think that the best examples are around that have, for example, 30 independent flats like Väinölä. But some are bigger because they were the buildings that could be used. And of course, the best example is the Salvation Army unit on Alppikatu 25, where they had, I think they had 250, some say that they had, at most they had 260 bed places when it was a hostel.
Mm.
And it was renovated into supported housing unit, and now they have 81 independent apartments there. But the interesting thing is that when it was a hostel, the staff that they had 13 people working there, mainly as guards. That was the title. But after this renovation, the Salvation Army has Alppikatu, and they have two other units, and they have a total amount of 55 people working as support workers. So it also means that there has been a radical change in the level of support. And of course, that's one of the explanations that things really have changed. And I think that the transformation in Alpikatu has had a huge impact on also on the environment in that region, part of the city.
You must say that in fact it was one of the also crucial and important factors in the whole success of the program. If you now already said that the staircase model didn't work anymore, one of the reasons, and then is the question that we had a very broad-based committed cooperation behind the whole program with influential partners. It's important to say. But then is the third, is the professional, you know, acceptance of the professional, you know, personal, which came in the process for UNIT. So it was, they were very unanimous in the beginning. There was an opposition, I think, or critical, opposition is the wrong word, but there was a critical thinking in Helsinki City, for example, in the that this can be too radical and too much risk.
Social workers.
Yeah, social workers in risk that they that we put down all the hostels or the night shelters. There is a risk, which is a very natural attitude in a situation where there is a change going on, because the transformation is always a problematic and it has its risks, etc. But it was important that they came to support it. Otherwise, you cannot go through with this kind of program. If we had oppositions all around the Finland, everywhere, that this is a crazy idea. So it was tested in a way that. But I would say also that this supported housing is a fantastic idea in the sense also that it combines the housing and the social sector in one main unit and needs the real integration. In fact, we are now already discussing, I think, about the future, because this kind of integration of the professional things of supporting, you know, housing and the support sector, they both need to be, in a deep sense, also developed together. Otherwise, the client, in very easy, you know, terms, can be in a second position. And anyway, the client-based idea is the basic of everything in the supported housing. Mm. Otherwise, you don't succeed, because it's so siloed, so sectoral, this kind of service paths which persons have, that you have to tackle them all the time.
I think that one of the main differences also is that our support is based more on the normal social and health services that we have available. Mm. And we don't have that kind of ACT team as in the US model. And I think that it means, in practice, it means that homeless people have the same possibilities, but they have also the same problems to get these services, because they are not always integrated well enough. And this is probably one of the key things that we need to develop in the current system, the support to make it more tailored. But I would still argue that we need different kind of housing arrangements. Scattered housing, of course, it's the main option, but it's not the only one. It can't be the only one. It would take quite many years to get that kind of housing stock that it's needed to end homelessness. My foundation started in 85. We have now less than 6,000 scattered housing flats, but it has taken 30 years to get them.
Yes, and I think you almost answered the next question I'm about to ask, but there has been some critics coming from other countries claiming that the Finnish housing first model is really not a housing first, because we have the units and we have the different kind of housing solutions. And it's not only about the scattered housing. So how do you feel about that after all these years when, you know, the number of homeless people has been going down and still there is this critic that, but you're not doing it right?
Well, I think that the main thing is what you want to do. Do you want to end homelessness, or do you want to make the kind of parenthesis, the real housing first? Mm. And for me, it has always been the idea that we have to end homelessness. So this is the thing that should be done. And if we are not fidel to the US model, so In the beginning, I remember in the first years, I tried to explain and some understood, some not. And then I thought that the only right answer to that question is that, so what? If it works and if it helps people to get out of homelessness, this is the way how we work. This is the way how we think that homelessness can be solved. And I think that there has been a growing understanding also for the Finnish model, because there's one element which is very critical or dimension in ending homeless, and it's the time. Because homeless people can't wait for all those pilots and experiments and the upscaling of housing first that should happen in the coming years. You have to work much more quickly.
Yeah, and if you compare the situation in the European countries and other countries in other continents, even so our evidence and the results, they are so strong also in that sense that and it's not only 1 or 2 or 3 years. Now it's been continuing going down, the whole homelessness and also the long-term homelessness, and it means that we hit something right. We found something really right to do in a quick manner. The political and the social pressures, which Juha referred to, they had to have an you know, credible program to get the positive flow. Otherwise, it comes 10 apartments there and 10 here and then 10 there, which is the case in many other countries at the moment with the real problems. And if you look about also during the crisis after 2008, started the financial crisis, which has made many countries, you know, real problems with these issues. So it speaks of itself. But at the same time, I want to say it is very obvious also that some of our new housing units, they need to be developed. Perhaps it's a transitionary situation also. You go in the next development phase, and then comes the new problems. It's never an automatic happiness here, that everything has been solved. So we have to work with it. I've been working very much with the Ruusulan Katu, which is one of the big units in Helsinki City for young ones. I'm working because I'm the member of the board in the Blue Ribbon, which leads the work. So it's a heavy work, which has to be in detailed, planned and solved all the time.
This is interesting. It sounds that the beginning of the housing first was, you make it sound like it was quite easy. You had the idea and then you had the programs and the main thing was to be practical and concrete. But it has been over a decade, and as you said, that you have to kind of keep on learning and developing things. Could you specify a few of the things that have been learned during this decade after the 2008, the beginning of the program?
I think that one of the key learnings certainly has been that the work has to continue. You can't rest for a moment. And the other thing is that there are homeless people who need much more support than we're supposed in the beginning, and also very very special support. It has to be much more tailored than it has been. And also I think that what's becoming obvious is also that for some people who have problems with substance abuse, I think that we should consider a non-drinking environment also as a form of support, because there are people who have motivation and who need that kind of support, even though they are living in their own flats, but they would need that kind of more how would I say, substance-free environment also. That's probably one of the lessons. But there's one thing that I would want to add to what Peter said, that the crucial thing is that we were not, the idea was not to launch housing first. That was not the big thing. No. The big thing was to change the system. So our housing first has been a systemic model already already in the beginning.
Absolutely.
But probably you can say something. What else we need to learn or change at the moment?
Well, to ask several things, but I would say that the potential of housing first also as an welfare element came very quickly. We knew that it has potential already, and it's shown the potential for example, the healthcare system. And we were so glad when Helsinki City put up a group of team specialists in the Aurora Hospital, for example. This is only one hospital, working with the psychosis group of persons, which were directly our clients from these housing units, many of them. So it was a very natural combination of enlarging, work with the Housing First tool also. I mean, this is an unused element in a way. It could be much more as a relevant strategy method for the criminal sector of the juvenile and other groups of reducing the criminality in many cases. Which is all we have already, evidence on these sectors, and you could go through, and also now the question of the overdebtedness, which is also developing, etc. You can go over, but there's not any strategy made, not yet, to how to do it. We try to tackle in the preventive program, the AUNA program, which was 2019. And we tried to recognize them inside the program. But when we started to work, it evolved. It came new elements inside. So I would say that is also one of the conclusions for the future, much more. It can help. It can give help to other welfare sectors. That's my point. In trying to solve the problems concerning many exclusion problems, for example, and a better effective way of providing services.
I think that one thing that we have much to learn that we have not been very good is research and follow up studies, surveys. So this is something that we simply have not had enough resources, and we have been so much concentrating on doing things that this has been, it has been not so important as it should have been. Yeah. So,
but we made an analysis, three analyses on the cost effectiveness. Yes. That was very important.
It was important.
It has spread all around the world, our results concerning it, about the savings which you get with when you transform from a very institutional based housing homelessness system to a more housing first model, and it shows, it's very clear, but you have to do it in concrete terms also, that there's a new generation, new decision makers coming up, etc. They need all the time the information that this is also an financial, very wise financial investment.
Exactly, and of course, the numbers are important. For example, Y Foundation, we have many visitors coming yearly to see the housing and homelessness work that we are doing, and the politics always. Not first, but maybe the third or second or third question is, and how can we save money?
Yeah, that's true.
But if we look out to the future a little bit, we have made this Housing First 2.0 report. What does Housing First 2.0 mean?
Well, I think that it means that there has been a change of culture in many ways, because this was a very different kind of process. There were around 30 people that were involved from different levels, different organizations, from NGOs, from cities, and even from state administration. So it was a more, how would I say, a democratic process, and there was a much more input from people who had experiences of the reality of the housing first. But I think that there are no kind of big revelations in the housing first 2.0 it's still housing, different forms of housing. It's more intensive support in some cases. And I think that one element that's important is meaningful doing and work activities and work rehabilitation. And I think that this is something that should be more integrated in the coming programs and coming projects. The element to find meaningful doing for people. And I think that this is even more crucial in scattered housing, because it's not self-evident that you get integrated in the community when you get a scattered housing flat. So this kind of meaningful doing, that's something that really has to be developed in the future. But still, I think that the thing is that we should get within a reasonably short time period a much more affordable housing and small flats for homeless people, to get one more step, not in the staircase, but the level of ending homelessness in Finland.
Peter, do you agree that activity and kind of jobs and meaningful doing is of importance?
It is, absolutely. I was not there directly. I gave some of the, they have a video library as a one of the working method, the group which produced the 2.0. It's a very interesting process all, but I was not involved in the meetings so much, but I gave interviews of my own knowledge. But I've been followed and read about the papers, and I think there's very interesting things inside. I agree very much with this activation idea of supporting persons from their existing roles to a new possibility in life. It is very much of the capabilities approach, which I like very much with Marta Nussbaum and Amartya Sen, which developed as philosophers. This kind of when you read it, although they don't mention these philosophers, but they're directly on it, and it's the next thing which I think we have to rely on in different forms. The way that you give possibilities and you help persons to grapple with them and go forward with your own life. It have to be the message. That's absolutely the necessity and going forward. But then is the question which we already discussed a little bit. It's in a way the system, how the services are produced in the welfare state. It's a system. It's a fantastic one, as we can see in coronavirus again. Finland is one of the best in the whole in performance. But then there's the question that when you're vulnerable, weak, without no money, etc., persons, how to cope inside this kind of system when you have many clientees which you have to take care of, and meetings with different specialists, and you can't find the solutions. So this client-based idea, how can we make it happen, a stronger one? You cannot demolish the old welfare system as a whole, but you have to change some of the legislation, absolutely.
I think that we still have to make some progress in the thinking that homeless people should be more the subject of their own life. We still have work to do on that. We are still, it's kind of good that we think about the system, but some cases you get the feeling that we are more looking at from the point of view of the system, not from the point of view of individual vulnerable homeless people.
Okay, thank you very much for that. I think we are now running a little bit out of time, but we have one final question for both of you, and it's also a little bit about the future. So how do you see the Finland homelessness situation in 2030? What has happened then?
I think that we have a common wish that we will see it. So
we are sure about it. Yeah, absolutely. Both going to be witnesses what is going to happen in 2000. I think if you would be very optimistic, which we are, In otherwise, you don't go forward in this work. The many of the, as you know, although I'm not a front runner, you know, as a service in the service work with clients, which is the most heavy ones, as we know. But I think it is a possibility for Finland to find in 2030 already the functional zero very nearby. We could be in about 1,000, 1,500 or about numbers. Now we have 4,600 or something like that as a whole. But but there's going to be a new also register based, more if I understood now, on work on the statistics. So there can be an increase, something else like that. But anyway, that's not the point. The point, we're going to go down. There's very good goals at the, in the present government program already until 2027. And there's there is a consensus anywhere in Finland, which has a very long big background, political consensus, which you cannot divide with the opposition and the government in this issue, not more. It's all more now question also, what is the, you know, responsibility and the capabilities to implement and to reach the good goals which we have. After 27, I hope we're going to be very much nearer, and we could make the last effort, the last major effort. I must say that it comes also politically more and more marginal question when it goes down. You can see it already now.
Yes, there's a lot of political thinking that we have already solved this, this, but we still have work to do. But I'm even more optimistic than you. I think that we can reach the zero. In the sense that in 2030 we will have big problems to find a full team for homeless soccer World Cup. So that would be the point to reach. But of course there are risks and threats looming, and I think that the climate change is probably one of the things that can reach the 0 point of native homelessness in Finland, but that the climate change can change the world in a ways that we can't imagine at the moment, even in terms of
immigration, the whole immigration issue in the Nordic countries.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. It has been a really, really pleasure to discussing with you and hear all the stories and what has happened and what the future look like. So for now on, this was the Housing First Development Network podcast episode number 5, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
You.